Here with Mr. Chip Towers, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and it's been a busy week for you as Georgia goes on. Kirby Smart makes his first appearance. Number one, give Coach Smart a grade. How did you think he handled his first trip to SEC Media Day?
You know, I would say good. I would say a solid B. You know, I didn't think it was excellent. You know, from the standpoint of he didn't say, you know, he didn't give us any real headlines, but I think he did all the thing that coaches want to do. He managed to get through it without I think he actually didn't even mention the name of any of his three quarterback candidates, so he didn't really give any strong information, but he did I thought he made a good impression for Georgia, and as he has it generally every turn so far. You know, he's a young guy. He's very dynamic, very energetic, and he's a decent speaker, not a great one. But, you know, I think he knows he's got to earn his stripes first before he can get up there and make any kind of grand pronouncements.
Obviously, kind of the storyline going in was the arrest during the offseason. I know you recently had an article that was very good. Your thoughts, he kind of mentioned that today and talked about it. Your thoughts about how he handled that?
Well, he handled it well today. I thought, you know, obviously he came in with a plan and you know, didn't tiptoe around the issue too much. I mean, it was not a coincidence that this young man, Jonathan Ledbetter, a projected starter at defensive end, got arrested on Sunday morning. They put a release out Monday before they got over here that, you know, he was going to be disciplined and suspended. And then today, you know, that way he wasn't having to address the news of it today, but rather more the repercussions in the bigger picture. And I thought he handled it well. Obviously, with this young man getting a DUI after having some other alcohol-related problems, you know, I hate to say this, put it this way, but he played it off as, you know, as being a substance abuse problem and not a discipline problem. And I think that's accurate, but I mean, it helped that he was able to take that tack rather than one of, we got a discipline problem at Georgia.
Do you think, I thought it was a very good question asked to him this week regarding the transition from one staff to another, really to any university, and in this situation it's from Mark Richt to Kirby Smart, but about discipline and the changing of guard. Did you agree with his answer on that? Did you agree with how he handled that?
Well, I mean, if you go back and look at Alabama in 2007, Nick Saban encountered some of the same issues. That was a terrible offseason, if I'm remembering that correctly. I've been meaning to go back and compare notes on that, and it is always difficult. You know, those guys that are juniors and seniors now, and sophomores even, were loyal to Mark Richt. They signed with him and that staff. And at the end of last year, you know, early December after Mark Richt was dismissed, there was a lot of unhappiness on that football team. Some of it expressed openly. You know, obviously with time and certainly effort, those things fade away. And I think you see now a team that's committed to their new coach and realizes, you know, You got to do things his way if you want to continue to do what you've been doing in the previous regime. And so that's where we are now.
As we move toward this season, I guess my theory, and I don't know, this is just from the outside looking in, Georgia fires a coach who was winning 9 or 10 games, and you hire a guy, I guess, to win games.
Yeah.
My joke is always, I could go over there with a couple of my radio buddies. We're going to recruit a top 5 class.
Yeah.
Your take on that, hiring a guy who's never coached a game, and just if that was the reason going with Kirby Smart.
Well, you know, I've kind of gone two different ways on this because, I mean, I didn't think Georgia should have fired Mark Richt because I've been around long enough to realize that he's really technically done a better job than anybody ever in the history of University of Georgia winning consistently at the University of Georgia. And I think, you know, that gets lost sometimes. But as Mark Richt said himself at his dismissal news conference, he said, you know, you don't win championships around here and things get kind of miserable. And that's the world we live in now. So since they've made that change and Kirby's come in, you know, I have to give Georgia's administration credit in that, you know, you see the energy, you see the passion, the new energy, you know, and certainly, you know, the Georgia people have gotten behind Kirby Smart. You know, he's in a honeymoon period right now. But when you start breaking it down, you know, what Mark Richt was able to do against Auburn, what he was able to do against Tennessee, you know, what he did against Florida, which wasn't great but was better than anybody in the previous regimes against before him, he's got to duplicate that and better it. So it's going to come down to championships. And Kirby knows about that. He's been where the expectations couldn't get any higher, and he knows that. But he better enjoy this honeymoon period while he has it because it won't last long.
Again, we're joined by Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and talking about Georgia, for them to do that quarterback play this year, Jacob Eason, obviously Bryce Ramsey's still in there. Your take on how this plays out when you get to August and fall camp?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty consistent, so I'm going to stay consistent on this from the standpoint of I think Grayson Lambert's going to start that first game. But I do believe that Jacob Eason's going to start before the season is over. And I really base that on having seen this movie before, okay? You know, Eric Zier in 1991 comes in, and there was an established senior but non-dynamic starter ahead of him in Greg Talley. Eric Zier ended up starting that year, but not until about the fifth or sixth game. It takes a while. Same thing with Matthew Stafford, who ended up being the number one player in the NFL draft 3 years later, but he didn't start the initial game that season. In fact, it was a couple of games in the season before he got a start. He got a start, lost the position because he didn't play worth a crap, and then had to earn the position back again, you know, and that's a guy who ended up being the number one player in the NFL draft. So I think Jacob Eason, I don't think there's any question that he has the most talent of those three quarterbacks, but I think it's going to take a little while, and when you're opening against an opponent like North Carolina on a stage like the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, you can't really fool around in that situation. You may have the greatest arm in the world, but you better know what play you need to be in, and you better know how to get out of it if it's not the right play, and you better be able to recognize that it's not the right play. And those are big deals that I think a lot of us kind of discount sometimes.
Of all the fan bases that talk to you, I should be the one that remembers Grayson Lambert the most, being from Columbia, South Carolina, after what happened last year, yeah. Which was just phenomenal for him. I don't know what you thought of that after watching his performance the week prior against Vanderbilt.
Well, I mean, you know, after that game, I thought Georgia had made the greatest move in the history of college football, getting this transfer from Virginia to come down. You know, I don't know what was going on that day. I don't know if that speaks to what was going on in South Carolina's defense, if he was just, you know, in a zone, as it were. I mean, he said that he felt like he was in a zone a little bit that day. You hear that all the time in athletics. And that's, again, what I point to Grayson Lambert. He doesn't get much respect in the Bulldog Nation, but, you know, this is a guy that won 10 of his 12 starts, and the one he didn't start, they looked horrible against Florida when they tried to go in a different direction. So, you know, he's the Rodney Dangerfield of the SEC. The dude just doesn't get much respect, but he gets the job done most of the time, and he certainly did that day against the Chickens.
It's weird that I forgot him, of all people. But before we let you go, and again, I'm joined by Chip Towers here, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who's fantastic week here in Birmingham. You had the opportunity to cover Will Muschamp as a player, and let's start number one with not him as a player.
Thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah,
but let's your thoughts. You've been around this league a while.
Yeah,
to see what happened at Florida and to go 1 year and get another job. Your thoughts on that? Not just in general in the college football world and the SEC world.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Will Muschamp is a fascinating figure just from the standpoint he's been able to pull off what he's pulled off in the last couple of years. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago he was designated coach in waiting at Texas, and then he ends up over at Florida, and it looked like it was going to go great there, and kind of lost his footing, and then the 1 year stint over at Auburn last year. I think Will Muschamp is a good coach. I mean, I think the guy knows what he's doing. And look, this is not a make-believe league. This is not a make, you know, Division I football, Power 5 football. You don't get jobs like that unless, you know, people are sure that you know what you're doing. It's going to take some time. Now, the situation that he's inheriting over there is tough, and I think that's what's been missing for Muschamp so far is really some time to let him do his job and get things headed in the right direction, because I'm not sure he got what he needed at Florida, and you know, we'll have to see if he gets what he needs at South Carolina.
Overall, you think Bulldog fans are happy or sad that Spurrier is gone?
Yeah, you know, I think they're definitely – I think they're actually split on it, you know. I mean, I think in a weird kind of way they came to like that guy, even though he drove them crazy, the evil genius. And I think the whole league misses him. You know, I think half the people have been up there on the podium at the SEC Media Days this week have made some reference to the HBC one way or another. But he's still around, as I understand it. I think we're still going to hear from him, and I think especially when the season gets around, I think we'll hear plenty from the head ball coach.
South Carolina fans won't want to think of this, but I think Georgia, more than anything, happy the way they sent him out. The final game, right?
Yeah, they were happy about that, and you know, he's been a thorn in their side for a long time, but when you get to the level that he has over the a long haul that he had, there's a lot of respect for Steve Spurrier in Athens, Georgia. I can promise you that.
Mr. Towers, I appreciate you taking time today. I really enjoy your work. Thank you so much, and look forward to maybe having you back in the future.
We'll do it.
Thank you so much.